My name is Madhuresh Kumar. I am an organizer with National Alliance of People's Movements, which is an alliance of nearly 250 grassroots organizations in India, and which works primarily on themes of establishing community control over natural resources and contributing to changing the development paradigm, and then for equity, justice, and for a dignified right to livelihood of people, and which includes mostly farmers, workers, indigenous people, and Adivasis, Dalits, of those kind. Yeah. So my role is more, I'm based in Delhi, where at the national office, and my role includes coordination between different state chapters, and then also contributing towards the policy advocacy. So policy on the Land Acquisition Act or on various other issues, and then to provide support to movements in Delhi, with Delhi being the national capital. There we have the various policy formulations going on and things like that.
That's lots of information. 250 organizations. So you're kind of a network, is it?
Yeah, it's kind of a network. Uh-huh. And Ulka I just spoke to, she is one of the kind of founding members of the network. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you just published a book, Speak Up.
On social movements in India. Mm-hmm.
Could you like introduce the book?
Yeah, the book idea came out of when two of the people from Germany who have been bringing out Jürgen Weber and Elena Flick, they have been bringing out this booklet, monthly newsletter called Halla Bol, which means shout out or speak up. So they approached me to say that we are planning this book, and would you like to take part in it? Then I said, okay. And so that's how the idea came in. The idea behind the book was that in India, there is so many social movements going on, there are grassroots struggles going on. But then within Germany, there is an India-Germany link, but within Germany, people are not aware of these movements, even though there is a historical link, but the current about the social uprising or the movements in India, there is not much information. So doing a book will be good, because in that case, we can tell the audience about what's going on in India, and it's a country which is seen as emerging world power, but what is the other side of it, the modernization project, the toll it's taking on the natural resources, the people who are fighting for this, and how the modernization project is not about equity or about equality. It's just the plunder of natural resources, and there are a large number of people who are not with this modernization process. And they are trying to find and say or dream of a different India. So we thought that it will be important to talk or to show that to the German people who are here fighting on their own issues. And they are so to bring some kind of also solidarity between the Indian movements and then the German movements. So that's what the book is about. The book is divided in different five sections, where we are looking at what is the idea behind these various movements, then about workers' rights, then about gender and sexuality rights, then about natural resources, and then a book on the energy justice, and then finally on the visions of the movement. So these are they're divided into different sections, and it covers almost most of the movements, ranging from environmental movement to anti-dam movement to nuclear anti-nuclear movement to movements opposing the oppression against human rights activists, or movements fighting for farmer sovereignty and opposition to the World Trade Organization. So there are the movements, the chapter in the book varies from different movements, and from the, covers almost all the regions of India.
Already have been talking about natural resources and lots of other sections. And I am thinking the exploitation of natural resources is only happening from like a little monopolist, isn't it?
Yes, but the exploitation of natural resources is an issue. But I think the issue, as Ulka was saying, is that the opposition is to the fact the way the natural resources are being used without caring for the future generation, that we have a whole, the life is not going to end with this generation. So we have a responsibility towards future generation. And to if we use something, then we should also try and replenish it and use for meeting the needs, not the greed. And the current development paradigm is about increasing the greed and about that, not about meeting the needs of the larger population of the country.
I already questioned Ulka what your suggestion would be for a development in Europe. What can we learn here?
I think I think all of us learn from our own histories and mistake. And I think one thing we have been saying in our own movements is the time has come now to put a stop to development per se. The development in the current sense, because the way it's going on, it's causing more destruction than rather than bringing anything good to the humanity. And so in the here, at least when we look, when we travel around and then we see at least some damage has been undone. Like if the rivers were polluted in the 18th or 19th centuries when the Europe was following its development practices. But now there is an attempt at cleaning those rivers, at trying to clean the environment, trying to put water into that. So there are different things being done. But back home, we are not doing any of that. We are just destroying. We are not taking, working on replenishing things. So I think here the time has come that to say that the consumption level, wherever it is, there has to be a downward slip rather than going forward, that to increase the consumption level, to increase the, meaning the living standard, so-called living standard. The time is there that okay, we go and see how less we can consume. So if today we are consuming, say, 10 megawatts of electricity, then how can we go down to 5 rather than increasing it to 15? And it's just one measure I'm saying. So I think the time has come to, for the Europe at least to go down, and all that talk in the climate change negotiations or various other places where the idea is to maintain its hegemony or supremacy, whereas I think the idea should be now to that, okay, we have taken so much from the Mother Earth, now it's time to go down. Yeah, so that's what. And I think the same goes for us, that, okay, unless and until we can think of replenishing it, we should not think of exploiting more, because that's going to only cause more damage and destruction rather than do anything good. Yeah.
That was really beautiful, like last words. But I still have one question. Like you talked of being in opposition to the World Trade Organization. I wonder how you realized that.
Well, I think, because in 1990s when the World Trade Organization came in, that's also the time when the Indian economy was opening up and things were slowly getting privatized, things were becoming bad. So I think that's when we also realized that the World Trade Organization is about that. It's about breaking the trade barriers, but trade barriers for the big corporations. It will not break the barriers of the borders for people to move easily. Since then, if you looked in the people's movements have really been curtailed now. We are not allowing anybody to move from one country to the other. The capital moves freely, and the big business and the big people move freely. But the normal people, the people-to-people contact is not moving. And on the name of the free trade or the World Trade Organization, we are dumping things from the developed world to the developing countries. So this realization came in the beginning also, and that's where people started opposing it, because we could see the beginnings of it in 90s itself. That's why.